This is Moravian Mornings, a podcast discussing the history surrounding the Moravians who settled in Wachovia.
Good morning. Welcome to this week's episode of Moravian Mornings. This week, we are speaking with Dr. Michelle Williams of Historic Bethania. Bethania is often one of the lesser talked about settlements in Wachovia, and we thought speaking to Michelle would be an excellent opportunity to learn even more about Bethania. Before we get started, Michelle, would you mind introducing yourself?
My name's Michelle Williams. I have an undergraduate degree in botany from University of Michigan, and then a master's and a PhD in paleoethnobotany. Let's just say archaeology, from Washington University in St. Louis. I've been here in the town of Winston-Salem for about 5 years, and I've been the manager at the Bethania Visitor Center for about 4 years. I am not a historian, and I don't have a background in Moravian religion, so every day I come to work, I learn a little something new.
I think I'm right in that boat there with you, because I'm new to Bethabra, so I'm learning new stuff each and every day as well. How was the community of Bethania planned?
So it's interesting because Bethania was the second community, as you know, after Bethabra. And what happened, as you know as well, that there were a lot of non-Moravians that started coming to Bethabra for the protection and for the resources, cultural, religious, and all the reasons they came. So when it came time to start building a second community, the issue came up of we're going to have to make this a mixed community in order to relieve some of the pressure on Bethabra. So they came up with several plans, all of them based conveniently on German medieval villages. Isn't that exactly what you would do if you're building a town in the frontier of nowhere, decide to build another Moravian medieval village? So they designed the town based on these very classic medieval systems, with a town square and a line of houses very close together. And then the fields that were associated and supposed to be the subsistence for these people were then located outside. When they did this, did a couple of things. One, it made the town very defendable, which could become an issue with Bethabra. Secondly, it made a town that everybody already knew. I mean, what would be better than coming home to a town you'd already left in Germany or in other European nations? And so the town was based on this very simple, what's called a linear agricultural village, which is why Bethania to this day is the only medieval linear agricultural village left in the southeastern United States.
Oh, wow. I think that was something that we saw in our research.
The community was planned based on the land that was here. And so one of the important things that Christian Gottlieb Reuter saw here was the combination of soil, water, and ground that could be farmed. Being a map geek like I am, I actually took one of Christian Gottlieb Reuter's maps and then rubber sheeted it onto the USGS soil maps. And he did a really good job of picking out a place that had a diversity of soils, because the kind of land that grows good pigs doesn't grow good peaches and doesn't grow good potatoes. They talked about the walnut bottoms here, which is why we have a walnut fest. And those walnut bottoms were a place that where the creeks here, including Muddy Creek, overflow up against a bluff. And so it put in real nice soil. If you live in Winston-Salem, you'll know we don't have soil, we have clay. We actually have soil in Bethania. And so those walnut bottoms were a reason that this place got picked, along with the water, which they saw for, you know, drinking water, but also a source of power for when they started making the mills. And Christian Gottlieb Reuter was a good architect, a good surveyor, but in my heart, he was a botanist. And he was interested in, you know, when he talks about the walnut bottoms, he didn't give a hoot about the walnuts. He gave a hoot about the soil under the walnuts. And so people come here interested whether or not we still have walnut bottoms, and we do, but that's not why it was picked. In fact, the black walnut trees put off a chemical in their roots that make it difficult to farm. And so the first thing you had to do when you came to a walnut bottom was get rid of them stinking walnuts. That is how this town was selected and our fortunately and yet unfortunately named Black Walnut Festival. I never actually get to explain why it's both fortunate and unfortunate.
We talk about a little in the previous episode about the 8 Moravian families and the 8 non-Moravian families who were chosen to live in Bethania. Why were these specific Moravian families chosen?
The Moravian families, it really looks like they were looking for people who had very specific traits.
Okay.
And then there were these eight families in Bethabara who were the refugees of the Indian Wars, who wrote a document asking to be considered to be part of the church and also asking to be allowed to move to this new town because of the overcrowding. And so there's this whole checklist of how to be a good non-Moravian in a Moravian town that was developed, and people had to sign those documents. If you try and follow the timeline of when each family got here, there was also a number of single men that came here because there was a lot more single men than there were families. And so it was a mix of folks that ended up occupying the place.
Did they ask the lot after they selected like eight Moravian families based off of their trades?
My guess is they were selecting off of the trades. And the documents that I have that have been translated for Bethania don't specifically say that a lot was drawn or a lot. And so that's just based on the documents I have available to me today. They did draw lots to determine which pieces of property would go to people. And then there were lots drawn because the farm fields were divided up into three sections, gardens, house lots, and then orchard lots. And so those were also, they used the lot to decide how those were going to be.
What did this mix of families mean for the Moravian faith in Wachovia?
I think that it was an interesting time for the faith because it was also that moment when Count Zinzendorf and Schwagenberg and the whole church from its highest levels down was changing what they expected to happen in these outposts. And so there had been a very strong and very specific vision of the faith in the early 1700s. So then by the mid and late 1700s, you know, power shifted, people moved, and all of a sudden, you know, someplace like Bethania became a real example of what could and could not happen within the faith. And so there was a real emphasis on making sure that people acted the way they were expected, they kept within, that everybody colored within the lines. My guess is that allowed the faith to really change the options for towns that came after Salem even. So when you talk about Freiburg and Friedland and Hope, those kind of communities then had a slightly different option rather than just being another Bethabara or Salem, that they could be communities that were more economically based rather than just faith-based. You know, the other thing I oftentimes tell visitors is that mixing the community did some really good things because the Moravians coming over here were people of great faith, but maybe not the best, you know, backcountry farmers that anyone had ever seen. So by mixing the community, it allowed there to be a broader array of crafts that were going to be practiced in the town and also a better array of people who could help each other.
So you discussed some of the differences between Bethania and Salem and Bethabara. So how does Bethania differ today from Salem and Bethabara?
The community today is still, you know, these 1700s homes are still occupied. And importantly, unlike Salem and Bethabara, we do not have a historic overlay in the community. We have a very active historical association that helps the landowners in the area make good decisions about preserving those homes. And that has a lot to do with that sort of independent spirit of Bethania, that while the community still sees itself as an important historic contribution to the overall area, it also sees itself as a dynamic living thing. And so it is less of a museum or an archaeology site and more of a beautiful little community that people live in these houses and modify the houses and try and make them, you know, come together as a community and take care of their needs as individuals as well, which I think really summarizes that first day of Bethania. We're a community, but we're each individuals as well. The way the three places are organized is very different. You know, Bethabara is a park and it's being managed as a park and as an important resource. You know, Old Salem is a not-for-profit and a gorgeous contribution to living history, just like Bethabara is. Now, Bethania is it's an independent municipality. We have our own trash service. And so there is today under my tutelage, in part because of my interests, a lot less emphasis on reenactment and a lot more emphasis on things like our trail system. And when Bethania became an independent municipality, there was a concern that these fields that had been used and designed by Christian Gottlieb Reuter and used by the Moravians here for hundreds of years would become subdivisions or, you know, otherwise become developed. So community members and the Board of Commissioners worked with the Piedmont Land Conservancy and the Audubon Society to have those lands purchased and developed and donated back to the state and developed as conservation lands.
We would like to thank Historic Bethania's Dr. Michelle Williams for joining us today and expanding our knowledge on Historic Bethania. As always, let us know what you think of this week's episode, and if anyone has any further questions on Historic Bethania, email us or message us on Instagram, and we will do our best to gather up some information and answer those questions for you guys.
This has been an episode of Moravian Mornings, a Historic Bethabara Park podcast. If you have any questions or would like our hosts to discuss certain topics, please email us at moravianmornings@gmail.com or message us on our Instagram page, also titled Moravian Mornings. Thanks for listening. Auf Wiedersehen.